Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, let me amend that. It's actually 46 degrees right now in downtown St. Louis, so warming up nicely. It's 8:33, bright sunshine. And speaking of bright sunshine, hi, Amy Marks-Kors.
Well, you're so kind. Good morning, Debbie Monterey.
And good morning, Michael Kelly.
Well, I guess I'm not bright nor sunshiny,
oh, come
but
on
good
now.
Morning to you, too.
You are
Debbie Monterey, the lady who wakes me up every morning.
I do. And sometimes I have to shove you really hard.
Yeah.
You're a snoozer.
Yeah, right.
All right. I am in a good mood. I think
this is going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen.
I think so many people are just in good moods for a number of reasons. The weather has been fantastic. It feels like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And the announcement this morning that KMOX News broke that, hello, Busch Stadium. They're going to allow fans back into Busch Stadium to see the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, it's not going to be the huge, but 32% capacity, at least for now. And that number comes after discussions with the team and the mayor's office and local health officials, and it's due to declining infection and positivity rates. There will still be social distancing and mask requirements and other things going on. You can't go to the box office anymore. A lot of folks who don't like electronics are going to have to figure out how to use the apps to get your tickets on your phone. But still, all of that said, Amy Marks-Kors, your initial feelings and thoughts about baseball back with fans in April at Busch Stadium.
Oh, I'm so excited. It really does feel like a watershed in the whole COVID pandemic. Now, this is going to sound really shallow and weird, but it's weird what stands out to you. People have asked, when did COVID really feel like real to you? When did you first feel concerned? I'm like, when Tom Hanks got it. That's when it stood out to me that, oh my gosh, Tom Hanks has it. Now, when you say, when do you really feel hope? Of course, the vaccine is huge, but you know, I'm still waiting for my vaccine. So what am I looking at that you think this affects my daily life now? I mean, it's Cardinal baseball in St. Louis. It's such a big part of who we are. And to have that ripped away last year because, you know, everybody had to be smart. I get it. But to have it back, I am in. I'm so excited. And everyone knows I've been super careful with, you know, not going to restaurants and all of that. Oh, with masks outside at Busch Stadium, I would be at every single game if I could.
Well,
every single game.
You probably will have to take out a loan. I think tickets are going to be expensive. Michael Kelly, your thoughts?
There's light at the end of the tunnel. This really is the sign to me that we're getting close. The fact that we're starting to roll back some of the restrictions, that enough people are getting the vaccine, maybe not here in the St. Louis area, that we can do this. And I'm excited, and I feel as though we really are seeing the end to this. It's going to be exciting. I got to tell you guys, I'm a little sad. Last year, I put it aside because none of us got to go to a baseball game because COVID went fan-free. But for the first time in my adult life, I'm not going to be participating in opening day because I won't have tickets as a result of this limited capacity. But I'm going to be so excited to watch those Clydesdales hopefully show up and start summer in St. Louis again.
You know, and I do want to add that we've talked about and criticized the messaging, right, over the past year with COVID, how to handle it, how to handle masks, how you can live once you're vaccinated, if you can hug your grandkids. The messaging has been very mixed. And the thing is, morale is a big deal. There's something to morale for people to be able to keep fighting. It's like a marathon, right? If you are disheartened early on, it's going to make the race very difficult. You might not cross the finish line. This is a huge morale booster, I think, especially for us in St. Louis. This is a big deal. It's more than just a baseball game, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It makes everything feel like, all right, this last year was really interesting, but we've got baseball to get to. And it just wasn't the same. I mean, you could listen on KMOX last year and you could watch it on TV and the fake sounds. we all did our best. But yeah, people in the stands. Again, those tickets are not on sale yet, but they're only going to sell as Bill DeWitt III. He was on with Tom Ackerman at 8:20. He kind of had more details, but they're only going to sell April for right now. And who knows, maybe by the end of August, when everybody's vaccinated, we can all go back to the field. That'd be really nice.
October, the playoffs, everyone's vaccinated. That sounds like a good thing.
I agree. All right. Well, I know the city of St. Louis is going to be excited, too, because the city has obviously been losing a ton of revenue for a number of reasons because of COVID. But coming up on April 6th on the ballot, not only who will be the next mayor, Tashara Jones or Kara Spencer, but city residents will be voting on the earnings tax. It obviously is controversial for people who don't live in the city. It's a third of the city's budget. Michael Kelly, what are you thinking is going to happen with the earnings tax?
Well, I'm hopeful that the voters will retain it. Look, I don't like paying the tax either. And at the end of the day, I think we have got to find some way to get past this antiquated taxing system that really is left with about a bunch of legacy cities. And there's no doubt that it is a barrier in some places to us getting more investment in the city and more people wanting to move their jobs here. Having said that, with it being a third of the revenue and with the crisis that we face with crime and basic government services, we have to do this. And we've got to stand up and retain this. But hopefully we can find some solutions. And we've got some mayoral candidates who've got some very bold plans to hopefully bring more investment and more people to the city so that we can ultimately get rid of this. I feel like kind of crazy defending a tax because who likes to pay taxes? And ultimately, this tax needs to go away, but it just can't be now.
Yeah, I don't know, unless you can figure out how to replace the money generated from that tax. One third of the money that's flowing into the city of St. Louis and the money that it can use to operate, to conduct business. If you just take that away, that hurts an already struggling city. Of course, nobody likes taxes, but we'll have to get creative before you can just cut it.
It is 8:40, and that is round one of overtime. We'll be back with round two, and we'll talk about lawmakers and a potential constitutional amendment out of Jefferson City after traffic and weather. It's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Marks Kors and Michael Kelly. They're working on some things in Jefferson City, including State Representative Chuck Basie, I believe is the correct pronunciation. He has a proposal that would put forth a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would require students to participate in sports based on the sex listed on their birth certificate. Amy, is this something that should go out to a statewide vote?
Yeah, I think this does tackle, you know, an issue that we are going to be faced with, that we are facing right now. Let's start at the professional level. Martina Navratilova, obviously, she has been very active in different social justice issues. She is asking for an exception in professional sports when it comes to transgender athletes, since testosterone is a known performance enhancer, right? That there is in sex, in biology, when it comes to physical feats, an advantage for males. So that's happening on the professional level. That should also be considered at the high school level. I understand that people may want to identify as a different gender that's on their on their birth certificate. But when it comes to competing in sports, there are real ramifications to that. And the truth of the matter is that women's sports will suffer. You have, for instance, the record for the 400-meter dash is 47 seconds for women. A 13-year-old boy ran that in 2019. There's just a big difference. And so somehow we do have to be able to identify the different physical scientific advantages.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's something that is really a delicate subject because, you know, so many people are, well, not so many people, a lot of people are dealing with this, and I have great sympathy for them. At the same time, it really could be unfair just because of our genetic makeup. Whether or not we ought to be wasting our time sending this to a constitutional amendment, what do we elect these people in Jeff City to do? The only things they seem to be able to pass on their own are, you know, gun bills to make it so that, you know, you get a gun if you buy a Happy Meal in this state, yet they punt on all the hard decisions.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the constitutional amendment idea because I think about how it wasn't it just 10 years ago? I think 3/4 of Missourians voted to ban gay marriage or never allow gay marriage in this state. And I think if you took that, say, a poll today, most people couldn't care less. So I don't know that voters are the best qualified to make these decisions. But let's talk about the money you may or may not get from the federal government, because President Biden has agreed to further cap the income levels eligible for some form of direct payment to $80,000 for individuals and $160,000 for couples, all but guaranteeing that some of the people who did get a check under the Trump administration will not get one under the Biden administration. Any issues with the wage cap, Michael? Oh, Michael, we're losing.
Respond,
oh, there you
try
are.
To reconnect.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let Amy answer while you reconnect.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with the wage gap. I think it is something, it's a little bit more focused. Charlie and I have talked about this, and gosh, for the past couple of months, that absolutely there needs to be some aid to the American people when you're talking about an economic downturn that was initiated by the government because of mandated shutdowns. That put a lot of people in a bad position. However, is it better to give $600 or $1,400 to a wide range of people, some of whom may not need it, or to focus and give more money to those who do actually need it? This isn't exactly that focused, but I think if you're trying to trim down a bill that's flirting with $2 trillion, this is okay.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the outrageousness of Dr. Seuss. When we return, it's 8:47. It's 8:50. It's round three of overtime. Michael Kelly is back. He's with Amy Marks Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. And this is one of the top stories on Fox News. It's gotten some play, I think, on CBS here on KMOX, but nowhere near. I guess this goes along with cancel culture, Michael Kelly, and that is the Dr. Seuss story. Now, there are a zillion Dr. Seuss books, a million Dr. Seuss titles, but the company that preserves and protects the legacy of Dr. Seuss said in a statement that these six books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong, and they are ceasing sales of these books as part of their commitment. And they are, with the exception of one, I read a ton of Dr. Seuss books when I was a kid, and I never heard of any of these, except for If I Ran the Zoo, I remember that one. McElliott's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, The Cat's Quizzer, and To Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street. Those are the six titles. Do you have any problems with the company deciding not to publish these anymore? And is this cancel culture, Michael?
No, it's not cancel culture. It's the free market. They're allowed to do what they want. This is their own product, and they're choosing not to sell it anymore. That's their business, and that's their prerogative. I don't have a problem with it simply because they made that decision. Having said that, I read Dr. Seuss when I was growing up. I don't necessarily view those as problematic, but maybe others do, and that was the decision that the people who actually print the books and who own the rights to it made, and therefore it's not cancel culture, it's the free market.
Right. Do I believe cancel culture exists? Absolutely. Do I think this is cancel culture? No. It was Seuss Enterprises that decided not to print these books any longer. And in fact, I think their big mistake was just announcing it. If they had not announced it and they had just stopped printing these books, nobody would know. You mentioned the names McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Eggs, Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. Those sound like Dr. Seuss knockoffs. Like if someone bought me a Dr. Seuss, you know, package and brought it home, I'd be like, I think you got ripped off. These aren't Dr. Seuss books. But according, you know, Charlie's maxim that the best thing you can do to a book is ban it. I saw this, and this was retweeted by Scott Linsicum of The Dispatch, but as of yesterday, 33 of the top 50 books on Amazon are Dr. Seuss right now, and I'm not sure, again, I'd have to check that number and see if that was only for an hour or so, but this is not cancel culture. I'd be interesting to see what was in those books because so many of Dr. Seuss's characters are, you know, fantastical, they don't really exist, but if the company felt it was uncomfortable, sure. There have been things, you know, that, I mean, think of all, you know, if you had a company and you looked back at your at the past of that company and thought, you know, maybe we should change some of things as the times have changed.
You know, I aside from loving Dr. Seuss books as a kid, I loved Curious George, and Curious George made a big comeback around the time that my kids were little, which I was happy about because there was a Curious George movie and I had a bunch of books. And then I got the original, like the original Curious George book that I read as a kid. And I was cracking up at how inappropriate it is because Curious George sniffs ether and passes out and he's laying there with like little X's for eyes and he's smoking a cigar. And I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
My kids are like, is he dead, Mom? Is he on drugs? I'm like, oh my God, I don't remember that.
Well, and also, have you ever just described a Tom and Jerry episode to someone? You know, Jerry chops off Tom's head. Oh, right. now he's dropped an anvil on his foot. Oh, he just cut off his leg. It is the most violent thing ever.
It is.
Amy, you tweeted something the other day about Bugs Bunny and the use of classical music. And so I wound up going through that entire thread and had forgotten how violent Bugs Bunny was.
I think Bugs Bunny is low-key, just like he throws shade. And I'm trying to think of a despicable character in any type of movie like There Will Be Blood or something like that. Nobody holds a candle to Bugs Bunny. That guy was brutal.
Yeah, and he got away with it because, like you say, low-key. Okay, before we go, let's talk pizza. This should be an interesting one because there's a YouGov poll that says America's least favorite pizza topping, anchovies. I would agree with that. But second and third least favorite are eggplant and artichoke. Have you ever had eggplant on a pizza? Favorite toppings, pepperoni followed by sausage, mushroom, extra cheese, and onion. All right, so first question, Amy, have you ever had eggplant on a pizza?
No.
And what would you say are the best and worst?
Okay, the worst pizza topping, I'm going to make people mad, is pineapple. Gross. Don't
put
pineapple on a pizza. And I will pretty much eat anything else on a pizza. I like mushrooms and olives and onions and sausage
anchovies?
And cheese. Sure.
Okay. Michael?
Okay, so I'm sure I've had it. You go to these fancy pizza places where they charge six times what they should for pizza, and I'm sure there's been eggplant on it. I, too, am controversial. Pineapple is the worst topping on a pizza. It should not be there. And here you go. Have at me, guys. Green olives is the best pizza topping.
Oh, that sounds good.
It does
that
sound good.
That sounds good.
Wow. That's a unique opinion that we all have, I can tell you that.
Bipartisan support.
In my salad days, when I didn't really have money for pizza, I was ordering with a friend who loved anchovies. And so we decided to go halvesies. Anchovies on one side, no anchovies on the other, which was a terrible idea because the anchovy juice bleeds over all over the pizza. And I still had to pay for my half and could not eat any of it.
I don't mind the taste of anchovies. It's those little hairs that are on the fish that make me, ugh.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know anchovies had hair.
Yeah, they're like little,
little fins, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right. I don't know. Everybody says they hate pineapple on pizza, but it's a thing. So somebody's eating it. But yeah. And plus it's canned pineapple, which tastes like metal anyway. Okay, well, that is all we have time for today. What's coming up on The Big Show with Michael Kelly and Amy Markscores, Amy?
We've got Major Garrett and also Kayleen Schaefer. She has written a book, But You're Still So Young, How 30-somethings Are Redefining Adulthood.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.